blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 22, stanzas 1 and 3. How long wilt thou forget me? O Lord, thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me, and while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me, and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me, and triumph in their might? 1 and 3 of Psalter 22. Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms and there is Psalm 23. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who hast created each and every one of us, and thou who hast redeemed each and every one of thy people, and thou who dost give all of us a blessed opportunity once again to be in thy house of prayer, and that around the administration both of word and sacrament, so that the labors that thou bestowest upon us are so great and so manifold, and what maketh us to differ from any one of our neighbors, from whom this blessing in the way of thy providence is withheld day by day. And we all have rebelled in our father Adam, and we all deserve that same punishment, and that we would not only have died already that spiritual death, but that that temporal death that is coming would plunge us into that eternal death, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But thou yet art merciful unto us and unto our children, and thy long suffering over us is so very, very great. O Lord, we beseech thee as thou sittest this day upon thy throne, and that thou may give to us hearts of true humility before thee, and that thy great goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Open thou the eyes of our souls, and that we may see, Lord, the great height that thou hast created us, and the great depth whereto that we have fallen. O give that our hearts may repent in truth and in uprightness, and that we might smite upon our breast and say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O show unto us our great guilt,
that is as high as the heavens, and show unto us our worthiness to be cast away from thy most holy sight, because thou canst not look upon evil, but thou from heaven thy dwelling place, who knowest the hearts of all men, also each and every one in this afternoon hour. O, we beseech thee from thy high and thy holy place, ever thou dost sit in thy glory amongst all the praises and magnifications of all the holy beings in thy presence. O, look yet, Lord, for a moment upon the earth, as thy servant did say, the Lord thinketh upon me. For thou dost humble thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and then in especially at thy house of prayer, and especially with thy own people, whom thou hast called and raised to a new life, and that they might bring forth fruit unto thyself, and that they might love thee and serve thee, and more than all would have been possible even had we stood in our father Adam. O Lord, the desires of thy church, and they are after thee. O, give then also an answer from above, and when thou dost draw those desires out, that thou wouldest also speak, Lord, from heaven thy dwelling place, in a special way in this very hour. And when thou, as according to thy holy command, dost give us once again after a long time, to set before the flock at the table of the Lord. And thou knowest all the circumstances, but there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for thee to do. O, we beseech thee then, show unto us our great guilt, show unto us our great unworthiness, for we have sinned against thee, and thou knowest what it is in a personal way, and thou knowest what it is in an official way, and then it is all blackness before thee, O Lord. Who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? Oh, but thou art so full of mercy. We can read of that woman. She is brought before thee, an adulteress, and thou didst say, as no man condemned thee, O Lord, and thou saidst, neither do I condemn thee. O Lord, thou couldst say it, because thou wouldst pay her price. O, give, that there may also be those who are brought in as idolaters, as adulterers, as thieves, as transgressors in all their blackness before thee, in all their wretchedness, in all their unworthiness, in all the filth and all the corruption that lives within their hearts, both in the daytime and in the dreams of the night. Oh, that awful and that wretched self. Lord, show it unto us for the first time or by renewal, and that we might lay it all before thee, because thine eyes, they look not only on the outward appearance, on that beautiful dress and a beautiful suit, but Lord, thou seest the inmost recesses of our hearts, and they are nothing but filth and corruption before thee. But, oh, do show also unto us thy blessed and thy dear Son. Oh, could it be for the first time, even in this day, unto those who must despair of ever returning into that righteousness wherein they have been created, and that thou hast given a desire to perform, but arms too short and legs that cannot go. And Lord, then it is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, It is all wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. But all good do open unto some, and for the first time in all their life, in all their wretchedness, in all their sorrow, in all their tears, oh, to show unto them what free and sovereign grace is, and what thou hast done in thy dear and only begotten Son, one drop of thy blood, that is enough, oh, that is enough applied unto us to cleanse us from all our sin and to take away all our guilt. And when thou wilt give it unto us, and then thou wilt say, then I will cast thy sins into the depth of the sea, in that sea of everlasting forgetfulness, never to come back again, for thou wilt ever look upon the wounds and in the side, and the wounds in the hands of thine ever beloved Son. Oh, magnify him, Lord, in the sight of all of us, both young and old, and that we may be given a desire to see him again. Oh, that we may be given a desire to eat and to drink up his words. For he speaks as no man speaketh. Oh, he putteth away those that do come into his fold as a wolf. And he does feed the sheep. Oh, he gathers the little ones in his arms. Oh, that it may be felt, Lord, that it may be experienced even in this hour, and that thou wouldest do for them what we cannot do for them. For, Lord, we cannot feed those sheep. We do not know even who they are. We are so ignorant. And thou sayest, feed my sheep. And thou sayest, feed my lambs. O Lord, who is sufficient for these things? But then thy disciples, they had to say, we have here but a few loaves and fishes. And thou sayest, only make the men sit down. Oh, they sat down. And they had only to be a little instrument, O Lord, in thy holy fingers. Then there was so much. Oh, then there was no end to it. And then all were filled. And baskets and baskets and baskets were over and left. Oh, Lord, could it please thee so to look upon us in thy house in this day? Bless this thy holy sacrament. Thou sayest, do it in remembrance of me. And thou knowest those who can remember thee. Oh, then it is not everyone who is born again. But, Lord, thou knowest the little ones. And thou knowest those whom thou dost give a little strength. And thou givest unto them a little knowledge. And thou givest unto them much love. O Lord, that thou may remember thine own, that thou may draw them to thy table. And we cannot do that either. But Lord, that thou wouldest put now the dividing line rightly in the midst of us. And wilt thou do as pleasest thee? Remember the whole congregation. Remember these children. Remember these youth, O Lord. And they sit here in thy house. Oh, they are baptized. They have a baptized forehead. They have no right yet unto that table of the Lord. But Lord, if they are thine own, and then they have a right to the substance, and then they have a right to the meal, and thou canst give them a meal, even in their seats. Oh, but they need then, Lord, and they need when they are little milk of thy word. Oh, that thou may give this hour such a holy jealousy of thy blessed people, and that they might love thee. Oh, pour out thy love in their young hearts, that they may desire to seek thee and to serve thee and to give all their young bones to thee, their whole life, that they may say, Lord, that is what thou didst create me for. In thy image, in thy likeness, to serve thee all the days of my life. Oh, give them spiritual life, Lord, that they might love thee in the days of their youth, that they may spend the days of their youth seeking thee, because thou dost promise unto them, those that seek me early, they shall find me. And thou dost always do what thou promisest. For thou art not a God, a man that thou shouldest lie. Oh, give them to hold thee to it. Lord, remember us all together. Forgive, take away all that is amiss, all that is sinful within and without. And wilt thou remember all those that are not able to be here? Remember them in their places where they are. Remember sick ones, those that do recover, those that do receive treatments, those that are widows, those that have difficulties and trials, in marriages, in families, oh, so many things in this world. And then here in thy house, oh, then it can be. It can be, Lord, in all those troubles, wherein the consequences of sin are felt, that there can be just a little moment, that they may receive that holy longing, that longing for that blessed rest of thy people, and thou art able so to bless and to sanctify the deepest way that thou dost bring in the life of a man, to bring us to our senses and to bring us to our knees, that we may learn to pray, even as thy servant Manasseh did learn to pray when he was far away in the prison, and thou didst bring thy judgments upon him. And then he knew that the Lord, he was God. And there on that hard floor, there he did bend his knees. And then the tears began to flow. Oh Lord, the hardest heart, that is not too hard for thee. Remember us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing while your offering is being received, Psalter 226. All the stanzas, O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226. congregation, the words of our text for this special service can be found in the Song of Solomon, the third chapter. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and thereof verses 7 and 8. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it. Of the valiant of Israel, they hold swords. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. So far the words of our text, which speak about the communing bride. First, Solomon's bed. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Second, the valiant about it. 70 valiant men are about it. Of the valiant of Israel, and they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. The communing bride, Solomon's bed, and second, the valiant about it. Behold his bed. Who is speaking? It is the bride. She is speaking once again. It is an answer, because we have heard that the daughters of Jerusalem had been speaking. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? And those daughters of Jerusalem are speaking, and they are marveling. They have seen that bride as one that is coming out of the desert, out of the wilderness, as one who is revived, as one who they say they can hardly recognize anymore. And now that bride hears them. She hears them speaking, and they are speaking about her. They are commending her. Anyone ever speak about you? What does that do in your heart? When they speak our praises, because our heart that is speaking them first. And then they are speaking them with us. And so that we are often so glad. Even God's people sometimes. Well, then they are speaking about them. They hear that. Oh, that man and that woman. Oh, and she has been led so far. And that one, she has been led so far. That is pleasing to our flesh. That was not so for the bride. And that is not so for God's church. When they are in the condition that this bride was in. Oh, when that faith is lively, then there is only one who is glorious in their sight, and that is the bridegroom himself. And then they say, if there is now any beauty that is to be seen in me, that is not because of me, and that is because of him. She knows that. She feels that. Oh, she says, I am black, but comely. And now she begins to become jealous. Not for herself, but she begins to become jealous for the bridegroom, for the honor of that bridegroom. Oh, she says with John the Baptist, he must increase, and I must decrease. And thus upon those commendations of the bride, Then she is giving an answer to these daughters of Jerusalem. She says, behold, look, she says. Are you looking? Are you looking at me? Oh, you need not look at me. No, you need to look at someone else. Behold, she says, oh, there is something so far greater. There is something that is so much more beautiful for your eyes to look upon. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Solomon. Who is Solomon? You know, boys and girls, that the Lord Jesus says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who was he speaking about? Well, he was speaking about himself. The Solomon was a type. The Lord Jesus was the anti-type. He was the answer to that picture that was for the Old Testament church in Solomon. And that is now who this bride is here speaking about. That is not just Solomon of the Old Testament, but that is of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, then she is looking by faith. God's servant is prophesying far into the future of that anti-type who was going to come. Oh, under what king of Israel was the nation of Israel so blessed as it was blessed under Solomon? Under what king was that nation so spread abroad? Oh, at what time period did so many kings come? All the nations of the world of that time, as it were, they came. They came giving gifts unto Solomon. They came bowing down unto King Solomon. David prophesied. He says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. Oh, his kingdom, he says, that shall be extended over that whole world. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. And the kings of the earth, they are going to lick the dust. Oh, there is no king on the whole earth, even if he would be king of all the nations of the world, that would be as Christ. And no kingdom in the world that would be as the kingdom of Christ. He is called the King of Kings. He is called the Lord of Lords. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Oh, there is also no power. There is no power like the power of that anti-type of Solomon. What is power? Oh, do you know what power is, I think? If a man is standing before death, and death has to flee away, that is power, isn't it? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes that there is no discharge in that war against death. Oh, what king in the whole world has that power? There is no king. That is the power over Satan, to cast out Satan, speak the word, and spiritual life is born, the kingdom of God born in the heart. Speak the word, and the dead shall live. Oh, what a king. Which is Solomon's? Oh, what wisdom. What king had greater wisdom than Solomon. They brought those widows, right, boys and girls, and the judgment, all the wisdom, the righteousness to do what is right, to judge according to wickedness and righteousness, to give an answer for the helpless, to stand on the side of those that were oppressed. Oh, what wisdom was given unto King Solomon. What wisdom has now the antitype, which is Solomon's, read in the Bible, standing in judgment, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Joshua, filthy garments, and no answer. No answer. Do you have an answer? Will you have an answer? And you are going to stand there too. And you know, Satan is a big liar. Sometimes still he says true things, but they are only half truths. And half-truths are lies. But now God's children, they hear sometimes those true things, all just in between that he is saying. And you know what they have? No answer. No answer. And they are quiet, because then they have to say, yes, that is right. And now, that answer can come only from one place. All the wisdom of Solomon, to give an answer when that people do not have any answers anymore. Which is Solomon's? Or outside of that Solomon, that greater Solomon, there is no grace. There is no grace. Thus, there is in him not only greatness of power, there is not only wisdom, but there is also grace. And grace that cannot exist outside of this greater Solomon. Did you ever experience that? Did it ever become impossible in your life to be saved from guilt, from punishment not only, but also from sin? Or is that now the burden that you have borne yourself in this world, and then to find a way when there was no way? Oh, that greater Solomon. You know what David says? He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth when it is cut off. And then comes that rain. Oh, she speaks about it. This man, this king, this Solomon. His grace. Thieves said, we are guilty. We received a due reward. Oh Lord, remember me. Today, shalt thou be with me. Paradise. So simple, isn't it? It is so simple. So even a child, they can receive it. The substance of it, grace. Free and sovereign grace. Children, do ask the Lord to teach you from above. By his Spirit, oh, that publican smote upon his breast. Oh, that poor man cried. And the Lord heard him, and he delivered him out of all his troubles. With what? His grace. Free. So free. So sovereign. Oh, that greater Solomon. Do you know what we read of him? We read in the Bible that he is the Prince of Peace. Of peace. May you experience that in your life. Because there is in the life of God's people turmoil. We have made it. It's our own fault. That is what is felt. And now peace. Oh, a peace that the world does not know of. That is the experience. Oh, she says, which is Solomon's. Solomon's. Do you know then it is also? Oh, she sees something of his glory. You can read about a queen. Who was the queen, children? Who came to see his glory. Say, that was the queen of Sheba. Oh, and then she marveled. She was given to see a little of that glory of that earthly king. You say, that is just a little bit. A comparison with the antitype. And you know what she said? Of the servants, of the lowest, of those that may serve Solomon, happy. Happy, she says, are these thy men. Happy are these thy servants that may stand before thee continually and that may hear thy wisdom. Do you ever say that? Oh, happy, happy, happy people of the Lord, which is Solomon's. Oh, so that bride is testifying to those daughters of Jerusalem. Behold his bed. Why does she speak about his bed? What does that bed represent? Oh, the bed of Solomon represents communion. That represents the nearness of access and familiarity that that bride may have with her bridegroom. Thus, in that bed is a representation of the union, the joining together of Christ and his church, so that there is fellowship between them. Who does that belong to? Oh, that belongs only to that bride. Oh, the church has access unto Christ. The world has no right to enter there. Even those merely of the visible church, they have no place there in that bed. Oh, it is an intimate access unto that bridegroom where that love of Christ is made manifest unto the soul of his bride. Oh, there they may speak to one another. There they may tell one another everything that is living within their hearts. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. That bed that speaks about rest. Rest from all our labors. If that is so, oh, then there is no rest like the rest in Solomon's bed. Because there the weary may rest. Oh, what labor is like unto the labor of a burdened soul. What labor is like unto the labor of a soul that is carrying a burden of guilt, of sin, of corruption? Because he labors, congregation, like we all do in this world, everyone with his temporal burden. And then in addition to his temporal burdens, then he has another burden. and that burden that is laid upon his shoulders. And that burden is what bows down not only his body, but it is a burden which bows down his very soul. Oh, there is no labor like unto that labor. And there is no rest like unto this rest. And when the Lord may give them to rest in his bed. Paul says, if it is by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no grace. Oh, when they may now receive that, when they may now believe that, oh Christ, he says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. It was finished. And when we are finished, then we get to do what, children? Then we get to rest. He did too, right? Oh, then he ascended into heaven. And we read he sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, Christ then has received his rest. He has merited it. He has well deserved that rest that he has received from his own Father, because he has done everything that the Father has commanded him to do. It is now all finished. But you know what Paul says? He says there is now a rest that belongeth unto the people of God. That is not merited by them. No, that is merited by him. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about the same thing that Solomon is writing about here. He is speaking about his bed. That is a bed to which he admits his own bride. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. He made that bed, and he made it for a reason. That is, that he may communicate, his grace unto his black bride, and that she may rest with him in his work, Everything he has done, that is now all for her. And it is grace which is now communicating all that he has done and giving it unto her freely. Oh, you know what she may do then? She may rest in Christ's rest. She may rest in the Father's rest. What ease is like that? To rest in the finished work of Christ. Oh, what ease is like that ease? When the Father's wrath is put away, and when there is no more labor, but only his rest. Oh, it is a bed of communion. It is a bed of rest. It is a bed of refreshment, because when you go to bed, children, and you get up again, then you are refreshed and you're ready to do what? Oh, to go to work again, right? And a bride too. Oh, then she may rest in his rest. And when she may then be refreshed by his refreshment, oh, then she is ready once again to work for him. And then her soul is refreshed. Then her loins, they are girt with strength Then she says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, and I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Oh, has she more work to do? Oh, she does. Oh, when she may rest with him, then she may be refreshed to labor for him in acknowledgement of him in her work for him. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, that is a royal bed. That is not the bed of a common man. Oh, that is the bed of a king. Oh, that communion to which the church is admitted. That is not a communion with another common man. That is the communion with God. Will you think about that just a little bit, young people? Shall we pause here for just a moment and just meditate for a moment what that means? Because you speak to your friends, and your friends, they speak to you. But do you now speak unto the Lord? And does the Lord now speak also unto you? Oh, that is a communion. You understand that, right? That is so far above all the communion that we may have in this world. And that is now what makes his rest so glorious. You know what he says? Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God that passes all understanding, there is no turmoil in God. There is nothing that can affect him. He is always the same. Nothing from within, nothing from without is able to agitate God. It is with him all peace. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. That is now the bed that Christ is admitting his own children unto, a peace that passes all understanding, unto a people who have rebelled against him in paradise, to whom is due only wrath. Oh, his rest shall be glorious, but that black bride may experience in that blessed communion with him, and there is nothing that will be able to disturb that rest, that communion. Why not? He is going to see to it, because he puts a guard. He puts a guard around that communion. He puts a guard around his bed. That is our second thought. The valiant about it. But we hope to see that a little at the table. The Lord give to his church a moment's rest in communion with that greater Solomon. Amen. The form for the administration of the Holy Supper will now be read to you.
Form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, all those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with the zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness. Especially, when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that he might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the curse of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that, we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one and another."
Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through thy Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 203, the five stanzas in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide, my hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Congregation, once again in the midst of us after a long time, the Holy Supper of the Lord may be spread, and God's church may be called to do once again that in remembrance of him which he has commanded. It is a wonder that the Lord gives not only life, but the Lord, he also feeds that life. The Lord is so faithful. He is a shepherd who gathers his own, but he never forsakes them. And so he gives also in this life, in this world, those tokens of his favor. He gives in a visible way for them, that they may be strengthened in their pilgrimage here below, strengthened in the way of faith. Then it is necessary that we have faith. Do we have faith? Say, do I have faith? And faith that begins, but that has different objects. We have heard all about it. Then it is not for everyone also that has faith to partake of this supper. And why not? Because faith needs a certain maturity. There is a difference between receiving milk and receiving meat. But how must we then discern? You have had a week, 2 weeks, every week, ought to be for self-examination. How must we discern then whether I have here a place at that table when the calling is now going forth, that table is open? Oh, then actually it is so very simple. It is a testimony in your heart. Do you have a testimony in your heart? Wives, you love your husbands, right? You say, I love him, I love her. You know it. Or maybe there are children. You say, I love the Lord. Is that right? You know that too. And maybe there are some of others of us. You say, I love the Lord. I hope there are many more than I know of here that may say, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. But now do we also love his son? That is what we hear here. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. And his son, that is remarkable. In God's word, we read, prophesied long ago, that there is no form or comeliness in him. No form. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, sometimes I think, I'm glad I did not live at the time that he was here in this world. Do you know why? Because I am afraid and that the depth to which he had lowered himself. No beauty. Oh, that I might have despised him. But congregation, it is now a spiritual beauty that we need to be given to see. They had to see that too. A spiritual beauty. And he has to become for us him whom our soul seeketh. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. So if there is no form or comeliness in him, then how does it come about that our soul can love him? Oh, that is only if we have become black. Have you become black? Because it is only those who are black that come to love him. And that can ever say in truth in their hearts, him whom my soul loveth. Because he comes for the black. He comes for the black. Or are there then those who are black? That is the first question. And the next question is, has he ever become him whom your soul loveth? Was there ever in your whole life that you can remember when faith, oh, you say it was a faith, but I saw him. I saw him for a moment in all my blackness, and he was so beautiful. Oh, he was so precious. He was the one that I needed. He was the one that could deliver me. If that is so, the table is now prepared, and he calls you to say, do this in remembrance of me. Come then. Congregation, there is still room. We read here, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loved. And then there can be a question that you say, do I really love him? Because if I really loved him, then I think my life would be different. Then it would, there would be more love burning in my heart for him. Then my heart would not be so very carnal and so very worldly as it is. Do I really love him? Oh, did the bride love him? She says, on my bed, I sought him. That was not so active. That was a little bit lazy. Oh, she had to chastise herself. It was not the way that it should have been. But still, she did remember. She remembered him while she was lying on that bed. Oh, do you have then to chastise yourself? Because you say, my love to him, that is not as it ought to be. Is it so very, very small? Is it so very, very weak? Have I sinned so often against that love? Do you say, does it really even exist? Or is it true that even upon your bed that you do remember? That you do remember and that your heart does burn after him. Do this, he says, in remembrance of me. Otherwise, the table is now closed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. This is the communion of my blood, which was shed for you. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. It is a wonder that that bed is made. It is a greater wonder if a person may receive access unto that bed of rest. And it is a rest that will not be disturbed. 70 valiant men are about it, we read, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. In the night. Thus, there are nights for God's children. It is not all day. There is a night of affliction. There is a night of trial. There are nights of tribulations. There are nights of discouragements, of despondency. In the night, it is dark. Thus, how often it is for them that there is just no light. Because of fear in the night. In the night, then there is fear. And what is fear? At the bottom, it is fear of death. It is fear of judgment. It is fear to stand and to be accused, rightly accused, and to be rightly punished. That is to be damned. We fear many things, but that is the bottom. Fear in the night. Many enemies that we fear. And why fear? Oh, you say, is it true? Is the beginning right? Am I not mistaken? Doubts, they are causing fears. Because of fear in the night, thus the Lord will do something because of that fear. It is not his fear. He has no fear. But it is the fear of his bride in the night. And he knows of that fear. When he is sitting in heaven and he's looking down upon the earth, then he knows what is going on in the heart of each and every one of his own people. And they are afraid sometimes in the storm, in the dark, and he would not have them afraid. He would have them to rest. So he says to them so often, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He sees it, he knows it, and he would not have it. The doubts, the fears, he would like to take away from them. So he does something. He gives them something. He sets a guard. Because of fear in the night that is living in their hearts, he gives them a guard. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it. The angels in heaven, the hosts of angels, are every one of them callable by him to come to the aid of his children so that they need not fear. He uses also the creation, the whole creation. He sends the lice for his people to protect his people against the enemy. He sends the fire. He sends the hail. So many things. The whole creation is at his command. All for his people. Even man. Heard of Cyrus? Cyrus called by the Lord to open the 2-leaved gates. Heathen, all at his command. But that is not what he speaks about here. It says 70 valiant men are about it of the valiant of Israel. Who are they? They are the prophets of old. They are the apostles. They are the ministers. They are the men of his people. They are the valiant of Israel, and the Lord has made them valiant. Go through the scriptures and see whether all of them who are truly sent and called by him are not valiant for the oppressed, for the remnant of the true church of God, to do as Christ, to stand for them against the enemy. Because they are afflicted, because they are poor, because they are helpless, because they have no feet to go, they have no hands to take, and so they are the valiant of Israel, and they all hold swords. The sword of what? It's called in the Word of God, the sword of the Word, which is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word. And those are expert in war, the Lord teaches them and how to use that sword of his word. For every fear, every man has his sword on his thigh. He is ready to use it for the sake of those who are fearful in the night. That is that word and the sacrament. That sacrament that is also necessary, that the word is with that sacrament. Why? Because the sacrament without the word is only physical. Thus that word, and the Lord gives that sacrament, that word of his, the promise of his, that oath of his, the covenant of his, the Lord gives for the sake of the fear that is in the night when there is no light. When there is no light, then the Lord lays out that bread and that wine. He gives that sacrament. Or he says, first, you must examine. You must examine. Is there any love in your heart for me? Do you know that? Because faith is the thing that unites a man to Christ. Faith is what brings a man into the bed of Christ. And when we know something of that communion, that faith in him, the smallest part of that faith in him, or for one moment that is giving unto that people that testimony in their heart that they know of that communion, that faith in him, oh, to rely for one moment in blackness, in filthiness, and to look by faith for one moment unto that sacrifice. And the relief and the rest and the peace that is experienced in that moment, that is all a testimony that the Lord gives access unto that bed. And now around that bed, the Lord, he gives his servants, and they may bring that word, and they may bring that sacrament. Do this in remembrance of me. For all that can remember, oh, then bring it back unto them again. And in that fear in the night, then they have here a testimony from me, a sacrament from me. They must do it. It is from me to give them courage, to give them assurance that it is really so. It is really so. That I have truly broken my body. And that I have truly poured out my blood for you. If we may know what that faith is for one moment, then everything belongs unto us. Is that not a wonder? Everything. Ye are Christ, Paul says, and Christ is God's. That is the greatest wonder, the greatest blessing that a man can receive in the whole world. And now, the valiant about that communion, that the Lord says, take it not away from my people. Let them rest there in that bed for a moment. And let them be refreshed for a moment in their bed, that they may believe it, that it is really, really so. And when they are refreshed, then they are ready to work for me again. Oh, the Lord, give in our hearts something of that blessed assurance. It is his own word. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. And that sacrament that is given by him, especially for that reason, to say unto us that it is really true. Oh, the Lord, give to us a little moment's rest, that we may be given also to go forward in that strength, that there may be not so much world in our heart, that there may be more living with that treasure in our heart, a seeking of the things that are above. That is what that refreshment is for. When we may taste of that by faith for just a few moments once again, then there is a desire that you say, oh, may I live that way now for the rest of my life. How long does the Lord give yet that we may live? If we may only live our whole life without sin, without sin and for his glory, like that bride, behold him, not me, but behold his bed. The Lord bless his word and sacrament. Let us sing Psalter 5, stanzas 2, 3, and 5, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter number 5. Thou art my shield and glory, Lord, my Savior, O Most High. The Lord from out his holy hill gives answer when I cry. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 5. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who had not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all and given us all things with him. Therefore, God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore, shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 3 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. 3 and 6 of Psalter 421. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.